We spent some time working through the Shaka Vakarya, looking at the different sub-issues of drushas that came up over the course of the Shaka Vakarya, trying to understand whether the issue was the Tzchacha Boikra or Lo Boikra. They may speak to a larger lump to say how you look at Tzchach. And we spoke about the Darshan Tchilas, Ein Darshan Tchilas, and the Chiddush Aran, that it's really a question of how does the counting drusha work, and that may... I believe that Ran, the Yisod of the Ran, answered not only his kasha, but the two or three kashas that at least some, perhaps all of the kashas raised by Tosus here, the Darsh and Chilas. I think once you work with the Chiddush Aran, the kashas work themselves out. Spoke a little bit yesterday about the last lashon of the Gemara, the Pasuk Yishayahu. A lot of complexity is as yet unresolved. The good kashas. How does it work with the Rashi and Tosas are debating how the drasha works, but underlying both is a question of what's with the Divrei Torah but Divrei Kabbalah lo yofinan. But now we come back to the core issue of our sugya, which was the first lashon, which was that perhaps machlokes Reb Shimon and Chachamim, Reb Shimon by Yochai, maybe Lekavod Lag BaOmer Olech v'Karei, we should refer to him by his full name. Reb Shimon by Yochai is the Tana Reb Shimon. They obviously all had full names. Reb Yehuda was Reb Bar Eloi, and Reb Yosef was Reb Halafta. But the common Tanaim just to get referred to Stam, Yosef, you know, Yosef Bar Halafta, Stam Reb Shimon, Shimon Bar Yochai. And Machlek is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, author of the Zohar, and the other Chachamim, about how many walls does the Sukkah have to have. How enveloped do you have to be in the Sukkah? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, author of the Zohar, holds Yimamash have to be very enveloped in the Tzil de Memnusa. Other Tanaim say apparently less so. Other Tanaim say two plus a tefach. Shimon Bar Yochai says three plus a tefach. And maybe it's rooted in a question of yesh eim la mikra or yesh eim la masores. That Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is focused, he says we're going to darshan based on the mikra, based on the way you're korei, the pronunciation. And the Chachamim say, no, yesh eim la masores, we're going to darshan based on the Masoretic text, the way that it is written. As a matter of fact, just in terms of the terminology, mikra masores, meaning pronunciation and spelling, maybe you should point out, both are b'masora. The pronunciation is also b'masora, but the word masora happens to have been used already several hundred years ago. The Chiddush Aran seems to use this terminology, and perhaps the Gemara already was using this terminology. And the masora was meant specifically the tradition of how to write a Sefer Torah. If you look in the old, I was talking to a couple of fellows at the beginning of Seder about this, if you look in the old, one of the older Chumashim, the older Mikros Kedolos, or older Tanakh, sometimes you see along in the margin, there'll be in tiny, tiny Ksav Rashi, every once in a while there'll be like a line or two, you're not really sure what it says. Ksiv, Vav, Chaser, Malay, that's called Masora. More than one version, Masora Gedol, Masora Ketana. It was written notes on all the interesting or surprising malays and chasers, so to make sure that people would write it properly. So that sounds like the Chiddush Aran, Sanhedrin, seems to be using that terminology of masora, meaning the record of all the malays and chasers. Every once in a while, the masora will sort of put together something interesting, like this word appears chaser in these three places, this word is written this way, except in these two places, or like these so pan chumash or pan tanach comments. That sounds like what the Gemara is already using that terminology. Yeshem la masores, meaning the masor of how you write Tanakh, as opposed to the tradition of how you pronounce Tanakh, which referred to as the Kriya. So we focus on the spelling or the pronunciation. And you saw that here the Gemara applies this only to the question of number of walls in a sukkah. You turn to Sanhedrin. The Masoras Hashat tells you here, look in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin already, as you saw, the Gemara talks about Sukkah plus several other issues. And the Gemara talks about the Machlokes Bashar Beis Hillel, about the Matan Dam of the Korban Chatas. Just to give a drop of background to appreciate what's going on there. Every Korban has its own unique twists. There are some things which are unique to Asham, certain things are unique to Ola, certain things are unique to Korban Pesach. Every carbon has its own twists, but carbon chatzos has a lot of unique aspects that it shares with no other carbon. Akin to, I'm not saying there's a fundamental relationship, but the same structure as when you learn Maseches Kelim. So each material has its own unique, you know, quirks, there are some dinim that are unique to wooden kalim, and certain dinim unique to cloth kalim, and to this, that. But cheres has not just like one or two uniquenesses, like loads of uniquenesses. So carbon chatzis is like the cheres of the carbonas. Every carbon has its own unique twist, but carbon chatzis has loads of them. Lots and lots and lots of dinim are unique to carbon chatzis. One of which is, number one, all the other carbonos, let's say talk about carbonos behema, the blood is applied to the bottom half of the mizbeach. Only the carbon chatas has its blood applied to the upper half of the mizbeach. Hanam tells us there was a marker, there was a line that ran around the mizbeach, the halfway line, a 10 amah high mizbeach, that the 5 amah line, there was that chut ha-sikra, I believe it was, that demarcated the top half, bottom half, all the other carbonos, ola, ashram, shlamim, Bechar, Maser, Pesach, Todah, everything else goes in the bottom half. On two corners, on one corner, poured on the Yisod, but everything goes on the bottom, and everything was sort of either tossed or poured. The Karban Chatas goes on top, on the upper half, specifically on the Kronos, you know, that the Mizbeach is supposed to be horned. Supposed to have four little cubes on the four corners. Those are the Kronos, the horns of the Mizbeach, and the Dams, that's obvious, that's the very top. Obviously, it's the upper half, it's mamash, the top of the Mizbeach. And the Dam wasn't poured or spilled or thrown, it was directly applied with Matan Etzba. The Kohen would dip his finger in the blood and then apply it directly to the horns, the Kronos of the Mizbeach. What the Gemara is discussing, the Tanam are discussing, the Shai Basilil, is how many horns? Part of the Torah says you put them on the Kronos of the Mizbeach. It doesn't say how many. There are four Kronos. All four? One, two, three. So you saw the Machlokes B'Shai B'Hillel how many are Likuva? And that just as an aside, you should file away from when you start learning Kachim in greater depth, is a question of L'mitzvah versus La'akev is something that comes up throughout Shas, but with a particular frequency in Kachim. There's a lot of discussion in Kachim. Rav Engel has a beautiful article about that. Aspen Dreis, the Lekach Tov, tries to figure out why it is. Is it indeed more of an issue in Kachem or not? But that's what Bashar and Basil are, as you saw in Sanhedrin, are debating. How many Kronos, ideally you definitely want to put the Dam on all four Kronos, but how many are Ma'akev? It's only Ma'akev if you just have to have on a Karen, or is it Ma'akev to have on two Kronos? Okay. And then you have the machlokes about judges, how many judges, and the other issues. Gemara goes through several different areas of halacha where there's a machlokes. It appears to be whether yeshem lamikra, yeshem lamasaros. Right? That's dalam and alf and Sanhedrin. If you went as far as dalam bay, so the Gemara backs off temporarily, and for a good part of dalam bay, thinks maybe there's no machlokes, yeshem lamikra, yeshem lamasaros. Maybe everything has to do with other things, and the Gemara sort of lands at the bottom of dalam bay. No, there is really such a machlokes. Maybe not every single case that we mention rides on that, but there is a machlokas in the number of cases that we enumerated, whether yesh eim lamikar or yesh eim lamasoras. Now, if you look in Yosef Engel, I mentioned before Aspen Dereis and Lekach Tov, Yosef Engel, I think I mentioned, right, he was like one of the greatest Iluyim in Poland before World War II, and that's saying a lot. And he wrote Bechlal, his style is to sort of like snow you under with Bekias. That's what Asiyag Deraisa says. It says, let me prove to you there's such a thing as Xera Deraisa. Here are 17 examples. Even if the Rabbi Daniel Feldman has pointed out, well, part of the power of that approach is often you might be able to disagree with several of his rayas. It's not really a raya, you read it carefully, a different way of reading it, maybe it's not really talking about this. But if you have like 10, 15, 20, 30 rayas, so even if you knock off 5 or 10 of them, there's still another 20. The point is made. So he also wrote or had a plan to write a sort of like an encyclopedia Talmudis, but his type of encyclopedia Talmudis, he called it Beis HaOtzer. It'd be an encyclopedia of Shas topics with his type of Lamdas and his type of Bekias. He didn't get very far, at least didn't get very far. I certainly am publishing, I don't know in terms of writing. But we have on, I believe we have through the middle of the letter Beis. So basically, the first volume of Beis HaOtzer He has a, this is not my Bikias, the Reuven Margolius quotes us. He tells you, look in Beis HaOtzer. Look in Beis HaOtzer, he says, Rav Engel says, Kedaki says, well, you know, the Gemara is a machlok, it's by Yeshem and Mikashem and Masoros. The Gemara quotes a couple places. There are other places where the Gemara also seems to, where the Gemara presents a machlokas, does never use the terminology, Shem Lekh Shem Masoros, but there are some other places where also it seems like that's really what's being debated. Let me give you another 17 examples. And they go throughout Shas, this machlokas here and there, Krisis Yivamas, boom, 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 boom. Look, the Gemara analyzes these 17 machlokas in, and every time it seems like really what we're arguing about is, are we focusing on Mikra Masoros? The Gemara didn't call it that, but, well. Okay, so that's impressive bikkias. Okay. Lo Alman Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us, the great time of Kamen, B'chal Dar V'dar. But then it gets you thinking, this is sort of an interesting issue. This Yesh Eim HaMikah Yesh Eim HaMasoros, where did it come up in Shas? So we have here, where Zayich Ler Masech HaSukkah, Da'af Avon HaBeit, Yesh Eim HaMikah Yesh Eim HaMasoros. You look in the Masoros HaShas here, and he tells you, you know, there are a few places. Look in Kiddush Nirchas, and then they'll tell you, Sham Nisman, Vav Shenun, means Vesham Nisman. I'm not going to give the whole list here. The list appears in Kiddushin Daf Yirchas. You look there at a few other places. By the reason why you have a Vesham Nisman, sometimes it's because the list is too long. They only put the long list in the one spot where there was a lot of space in the margin. In other places, there wasn't so much room. Or it's because there are two people who wrote the Masoros HaShas. It's a good tidbit to know. The tidbit that you pick up if you actually read the Shaar Blot. They tell you that there were two different Talmidei Chachamim who wrote the Masoros HaShas. They did not live at the same time. One was the Yeshua Boaz, who was also wrote the Shultai Giborim on the side of the Rif, where he collects an anthology of Rishonim Al Seder HaRif. It's published in the Venice Shas Shin Yud. That's 1550. So he was at the end of the period of the Rishonim. And then there's more Masoros HaShas. He wrote the Masoros HaShas. And there's more Masoros HaShas that was written by Rabbi Yeshaya Berlin. Rabbi Yeshaya Pick Berlin, who was a contemporary of the Nod Behuda. Late 1700s, we have Chuvas. The letter is written between the two of them. And they tell you, Mukafin Bechatzoi Ribua. Those will be surrounded by chatzai ribua, half squares, which we call brackets. So if you've seen it hundreds of times, thousands of times, and now you'll know what it means. Sometimes Masoros HaShas is in brackets, sometimes it's not. Because the version 1, Masoros HaShas 1.0, is non-bracketed. That goes back to the 1500s. And then Rishai Berlin's, and then there's someone else that they mentioned also, and they also have been was adding. The later editions with an A, things that were added later, go in the brackets. You could see there's a difference in style. And the Vesham Nisman, I believe if you look in Kiddushin, it's not in brackets. Now there's, you put it there, and then here he's just telling you, the Rishai Berlin says, by look over there, you'll find the fullest. Okay, but be that as it may, there's an important tidbit about Masoros HaShas, but be that as it may, it comes up a few places in Shas. So there's the angle, says, oh, there's another 17 places. Shouldn't this be like 1,000 places in Shas? No? It's like every drasha. Doesn't like every drasha is good? Mikra Masoros. It's going to happen all the time. It should be one of the most popular topics in Shas. No? It comes up all the time. Malei Chaser, you have all over Chumash. Yidarshin Apasek. It's actually surprising that it should have been even broader. Who asks this kasha? But not in this format. Huh? Tosfos, right. And this is important to recognize, just in your methodological toolbox, to still look at a Tosfos and understand what it is that they're driving at. Right? Tosfos says, Rav Shimon, Tavar Yeshen L'Mikra, L'Kulum Odu, D'Darshin L'Mikra Masoros, Tosfos says. Everyone agrees, Avav and Beis, that Yidarshin L'Mikra Masoros. D'Lo Al-Chinam Nechtav Kein. Now the milsa b'milsa the mikchashi ahadadi plihi. Says no. He said Tosfos says everyone agrees. You have to darshan both mikra and masoros. The lo achinam nichtav kain. It was not just written that way for no good reason. Even if Rav Shimon holds the Yeshem LaMikra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, crafted the Torah with a specific purpose in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is meaningful. Torah is omni-significant, is fully, totally significant and meaningful. There's a reason why Rabbi Shalom did it. So of course, we're going to darshan Mikra and Masoras. Both of them are meaningful. The whole machlekes is only in a case where there's a steer between Mikra and Masoras. So then we have to figure out which wins and which loses. The Marasav are Mikra Iker, and the other one holds no Masoras Iker. And what's his raya? His kedashah and rekiva Reish Sanhedrin. The sugi in Sanhedrin. He says Eishem l'Mikra. Yet by lechem oni, he is darshaning Mikra and Masoras, right? Lechem oni, as we spoke about before Pesach, right? different meanings which are relevant to halacha. The fact that the Torah in Parshas Re'eh refers to Matzah says lechem oni. On the one hand, we lashon ani, poor man's bread, and that means several things. As opposed to enriched with added ingredients, as opposed to being too big, as opposed to being cooked, right? Different means of matzah shira, and lechem oni means it has to be parus, and le'idach gisa has to be lechem sha'onum al dvar marbi, lashon aniya. So that's one with a vav, right? And meanwhile, in later in Sukkah, he's darshaning from the chaser vav of that kapos tamarin, the pasuk in Amar that describes the dal minim, kapas chaser vav. He darshans from the fact that the word is written without a vav, that there he's focused on masoras. In other words, what? In other words, Taisus Kedarka didn't, not always a derech, not most typically the derech, but it happens. It's a significant minority of the cases where Tosis will not explicitly write their kasha. The kasha was Avistir Rebbe Kivas. Givalt Avistir Rebbe Kivas. Is Darshan Mikra? Is Darshan Masoras? Is Darshan both? It's a one big mess. And the answer is, nah. It's not a mess. It's not a stira. That here in Sanhedrin, he's saying Mikra. And in Sukkah, later on, Masechah Sukkah, he's saying Masoras. And in Psachim, he's saying both. No, that's not a stira. It's not a zero-sum game either or. No, of course, and A, the kasha number one is, practically speaking, I have stiras between sugyas. Does any given Tana hold Mikra or Masoras? And kasha number two is, what's the whole l'chora, what's the whole concept mean? You mean to say that some Tanam hold that the way things are pronounced is irrelevant? You mean to say some Tanam hold the way things are spelled is irrelevant? How are you talking? Well, what's going on? Sounds almost heretical. Tosis says, no, the answer to both kashas, and maybe also the answer to the third kasha, which Tosis didn't say explicitly, which is this machlag should be coming up thousands of times throughout Shas. No. It's not relevant to every single drasha. Everyone holds a Mikra, everyone holds a Masoras. All the Tanoim were Orthodox Jews who accepted both the Torah Shebichsav, the way the Chumash is written, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, which includes how to pronounce the Chumash. Those are accepted across the board by all the Tanoim. They were not Tzedukim, they were not Karaites. But the question is merely a question of emphasis. It's just a question of when they come into conflict, which one wins. But there's no stira between the Mikra and the Masoras. So by all means, Mikra is meaningful, Masoras is meaningful, whichever one is available for drasha, you're going to darsha. And it says Rav Shimon also. Here Rav Shimon Gemara wants to suggest Rav Shimon is the Yeshem of the Mikra, and in Kiddushin, he's darshaning Mikra and Masoras. So what's the answer? The answer is no! The answer is that the etzem, the yisayda dvarim, is they're both meaningful. Avad, everyone holds significance of Mikra. Everyone holds significance of Masoras. It's not a question of which one do we darshan. It's which one do we darshan first, or which one do we darshan, which one has primacy. Yeah.
First of all, kapas, kapos, that seems to be a steer, because kapos would be mashma tufa. So therefore, in the corner here with Garshan Zishan Mikra, you should do kapos.
Yeah, that's a good kasha. You're saying it's the same, it sounds like the same as sukkas and sukkos or karnas and karnos. Is it one or is it two? Yeah, that's a good problem. That's a strong problem. Yeah, what else?
It doesn't even ask that question at the end. And also, Rashi in Kedushin Dakutas seems to disagree with, I could be actually wrong, Rashi seems to disagree with Tosfos that low looking.
Really? Let's take a look. Rav Shimon Sarva, if you have the MTA issue tomorrow, you have the Rashi printed on the page of Sukkah. If not, you have to actually get a Gemara Kedushin. What does Rashi say? Rav Shimon Sarva Yashem L'Mikra, De'im Tomar. Ah, Rav Shimon holds the Mikra.
What's going on
with Rav Shimon Sarva Yashem L'Mikra? Right. I in Sanhedrin, he holds Besukas. Rav Shimon Yashem L'Mikra. He says, "Now, Hasam Lekel Me Mikra Masoris, the Isil Haile Silai." There, how come in Kiddushin it's both, and there it's only there, meaning here in Sanhedrin or in Sukkah, it's only a Mikra. The answer is the Isil Haile Silai. If you have this, you don't have that, meaning it's a stira. In Shlosh Defaras Yaksharta Lo Tidrish Mikra. In Tifsal Lo Tidrish Masoris. Okay. What do you mean?
He only asked that question from Shimon because Rav Shimon saw Yeshua and Mikra Ul Masoris. Then he asked, "I have Rav Shimon really holds Yeshua and Mikra and Masoris. Why is he only Darshan Mikra over here?" The answer is because it's a steer. But he doesn't. Rashi's not bothered by. Rashi doesn't. The reason Rashi seems to ask the question is because he Darshan.
But that,
he says Darshan Mikra and Masoris, not me. If he just said Yeshin Mikra, Rashi wouldn't have had this question.
Well, there would be no question. No? What you're suggesting is that maybe there are three shitas. There's a shita Yeshem Mikra, Shita Yeshem Masoris, and a shita Yeshem both. But even those who hold Yeshem both agreed that in the case of a stira, then you have to choose one or the other. Maybe. I'm not sure it's a mochach from Rashi. It's an interesting idea. So what are you saying? I'd love to hear it. No? All right. Well, think about some more reformulate the kasher. I'd love to. So that appears to be what Tesis is driving. Again, they're answering L'chaorah three different kashas, or three different types of kashas with one yisod. One kasha is just a steer in Gemara's, L'maisa, the same Tana is saying different things in different places. And number two, a problem in Svara, what could such a shita even mean? Hanli Yeshem, Mikashem, and Svara, I mean, we hold the both. We're Orthodox Jews. And number three is a question of why hasn't it shown up in 1,000 other places? Again, that kasha tais does not ask directly. That l'chora, I think one looks at such a taisis and you see in the taisis, that's sort of like a lingering underlying the kasha as well. And all three questions are answered by saying, no, this is not a global issue. The global perspective is Torah Shavich Sav and Torah Shavich Peh. Nikra is critical. Masoris is critical. It's all critical. And Shaila is just a question of a hierarchy. Like you have in halachic issues also. The 613 mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs are important. What do you do when you have two mitzvahs in conflict? That's a subset of halacha. What do you do? You say, dochalosa said, you say, pikuach nefesh is docha mitzvahs. That's a detail. What do you do when halachas are, when concepts are in conflict? But that's not the bulk of halacha. So Tosa is saying here too, in terms of how drashas work, Yeshem l'mikra, Yeshem l'masoris are not global issues. Yeshem l'mikra, Yeshem l'masoris are issues of hierarchy. It's just a question of what do you do when different drushes are in conflict? How do you, this is a traffic cop. Who goes first, who gets to go, and who has to give way? Who gets to go? Yeah. Sure. Taisa says that Be'etzim, they're both important. Of course we care about Mikra. Of course we care about Mesoros. Of course we care about both. And that's why the whole Machlekes is, it's a detail Machlekes. It's not Chalila that there are Tanam who thought that the pronunciation is not significant. And it's not that there were Tanam who thought that the spelling is not significant. Everyone held that spelling and pronunciation was significant. Tosh Vokzav, Tosh Apeh. The Shaila is just, what do you do when they're in conflict? So Shai Darshan and this, Shai Darshan and that. We could have imagined you could have a rule for what do you do when you have a Kavach Chomer versus a Gzeir Shava. Kavach Chomer indicates like this, Gzeir Shava indicates that. What do you do? I don't know. It's a good question. Right? So Tosa says, that's Yeshem L'Mikah, Yeshem L'Masaurus. What do you do when they're in conflict? And that L'Chorah, although I look forward to your Ha'aris, Yehuda, L'Chorah, that's what... Excuse me. Pardon me. That L'Chorah is what Rashi is driving at B'Lashono HaZahav in Kiddush and Olsa. B'Lashono HaZahav, that's the way the son of the Sfar referred to Rashi, is in Ki'ilu, he wrote with golden ink, because every word is so precious. And so he just slides it in there. Yisla'i, le'isla'i, that's when you have Yeshem, because Yeshem,
Masoros. How does that answer the question? Because there still is a lack of emphasis. Like, regardless of what you want to say, that there's a machlo, because it's a machlokas, you can't hold go around it, there's still an issue, because when there's a case of machlokas, then you're not holding either the Lashon
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Let's say a baby boy will be born this coming Shabbos. Thank you. And not a C-section, a natural delivery. And the baby's healthy, Baruch Hashem. He was born not during Ben Hashmashas, Mamash on Shabbos. After Tzeis HaKochav on Friday night, before Shkia Shabbos afternoon. So we're going to do a bris. Next week Shabbos, we have the bris. Right? Mila b'zmanos docha Shabbos, darshan from the opening psukim of Parshas Tazria. So we're going to do melecha Shabbos daraisa, l'chor, in order to do the bris mila. Does that mean that we're not pro Shabbos? We're very pro Shabbos. Kohanim, the days of Beis Hamikdash, we should be zeicher soon. We have Kohanim or Mechal Shabbos every single Shabbos. We bring carbon talmud, they bring the Musaf of Shabbos. Gival, does that mean that Kohanim are like less pro Shabbos than Levim Yisraelim? No. But there's a hierarchy, there are rules for we're very pro Shabbos, we're very pro Mila, and we're very pro Avoda. But the Torah gives us rules for what takes precedence over what. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The fact that, and now sometimes you do see a certain sense of values. Now, the fact that Pekuch Nefesh is Docha, almost all Mitzvah Torah, does tell you, is an important statement about the incredible value that the Halacha places in every human life. And that's where the Rambam presents at the beginning of Perek Beis of Hilchos Shabbos. But just because there's a rule, let's say we learned the Rambam a couple weeks ago. And I say dochalosa say, Rabban says, well, how come I say dochalosa say? A derech machshava, because I say represents sa'ava, avodah me'ava, and being careful about lava represents avodah me'ira. Avodah me'ava is a higher madrega than avodah me'ira. Okay. It could be that Mikra Masorah, somehow we're saying they're both very significant, but somehow one is more significant than the other. Maybe. Or not. Let's say Shabbos and Mila. Shabbos and Avodah, it doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not sure that there the Machshava B'davar is Shabbos Las Chashav, it's just that this is a mitzvah Kavua, Zman Kavua. Or in a Hanami, maybe, I'm not sure whether this is a statement of values or not, whether this is axiological or not, but even if it is, they're both incredibly important in Teres Hashem. The question is Mikra here and Masoros is here, or Masoros is here and Mikra is there? One is 10 trillion points and one is 11 trillion points. Both super, super, super chashav. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up his Torah? That this one is super chashav, this was even more, or this one is super chashav, that was even more. But it's not at all a sort of a rejection or a demotion of either one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then what does Rabbi Akiva do in the Torah?
What do you mean? Why?
So yeah. So in the case of Kedushin, where it's the Pasha, so that's not the Pasha, where it says holds Eimah Mikra. So what is he going to do now with the way the Pasuk is written as opposed to the way it's read?
Yeah. So offhand, we're going to get back to the Urim is going to raise that sort of issue, maybe phrase a little bit differently. But he's going to raise that sort of issue. But when there's a conflict, so you're choosing one or the other, so what's pshat in the other? Which is a good, which is essentially what you're asking. So before you get to Urim, Lechari would say, it's not, there are multiple layers of how we understand Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you a text of Torah Shebichtav, I'm telling you in advance, there are many, many layers of meaning embedded in the text. And here are tools you can use to extract those. Not every layer of meaning is dispositive in terms of halacha lamasa. Not every layer of meaning of chumash affects how I practice halacha. I'll give you two simple examples of that. It's actually a very important issue for like understanding Talmud Bavli. One example is the Gemara has a rule ein mikriyosim de pshuto. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rav Kahana, said he was ready kavar shivsar or tamnesar, they're 17, 18, either 17, 18 years old or 17, 18 years in yeshiva, before he found out they ein mikriyosim de pshuto. In our terminology, it sounded like, you know, it was like a yeshivish place. So they weren't actually learning, you know, Pshutu Shal Mikra Tanakh. They were just busy darshim sukkim, busy with halacha and lamdas. And then he comes across this after many years. Wow, Emir goes to be a Pshuta. Right? So, but anyhow, well, what does that mean? That means Lamaisa, that the Pshutu Shal Mikra is a true and relevant and meaningful way to interpret Chumash. And Al Derech Drash is a true and relevant and meaningful way to interpret Chumash. Both are giving us ideas that Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey us through the Torah. In terms of how you paskin, the way you're going to practice any given mitzvah is going to be driven primarily by the Al-Derech Drash interpretation, not by the Al-Derech Pshat interpretation. In other words, if the Torah talks about a sukkah, the Torah talks about tzitzis, the Torah talks about a karban, so how do I actually do the carbon? How do I actually build a sukkah? Whenever there's something on Derech Drash, a Kal V'Chomer Gzeres Shavah, that's going to determine how I act. Even though the Pshul Shal Mikra may be telling me something else. And that's already starting to sound a little bit like this, Tysus. I'll give you another example. Gemara in Bava Metzia, the ninth part of Bava Metzia. Similar to the Pshuto and Drash. As a matter of fact, Rav Cooperman, the founder of Mechalah, who was also the, which is not so relevant to you, at least not for the next couple of years, but is relevant to you immediately, it may or may not be relevant to you in a couple of years. Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you, Noam. What is relevant to you immediately is Ray Koopman also put out the edition of Meshech Chachma with footnotes. It's a glorious edition of Meshech. It makes Meshech Chachma much more accessible. Meshech Chachma is such a treasure. Rebbe Simcha and Chumash. He also has, in addition to his footnotes on the bottom, running footnotes on the bottom, he has a glorious mavo. The introduction, he works very hard and the long mavo. It's not just who Rebbe Simcha was. He has like essays on issues in learning Chumash, inspired in part by Meir Simcha. Several prakim in the Mavo deal with the question of what is the role of Pshut Shal Mikra. If we're not going to pass in that way, that doesn't impact how we practice halacha. So then, what's it for? Valid question. And he has several prakim, each one dedicated to a different objective of Pshut Shal Mikra. One of them is, the Pshul Shal Mikra, the Drash is telling you how to practice the halacha, how to act, Shulsha Mikra, one of the things Shulsha Mikra does is tell you what are the ideas behind the mitzvah. And that brings us to aspect number two, which is the Gemara of Bavnitzia in the ninth parak. The Gemara of the Machlokas actually also Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. I have wondered in the past whether this is in line with Reb Shimon being the great Mekubal. Gemara has a machlokas, whether I think we may have discussed this in the past, whether Dashin and Tanya Nekar or Lo Dashin and Tanya Nekar, right? Whether the reasons for mitzvahs are a drasha or not. Meaning, the way the Rambam and other Rishonim write, of course, it means for mitzvahs. So to understand the reason for mitzvahs is a very important chelik of Talmud Torah. To understand the moral, ethical, religious principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating to us through mitzvahs, that's very, very important. However, we hold that's not a drasha. This is truths from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't impact how you keep the din. The din applies even when the tam doesn't apply. Reb Shimon says, no, the din apply, if the tam doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply. Reb Shimon said, Pasuk has a din, if you lend someone money, you're allowed to take a mashkon. However, if the borrower is an almana, if the borrower happens to be a widow, so then you can take a mashkon for her, but it cannot be clothing. The Tanakh have a whole long explanation of why she's a poor woman, so it's going to put her in a very compromising situation. People will put all the dinim together. If you take a beged as mashkon for almana, you're going to end up in a situation where people may start, tongues may start wagging, and people will make up all sorts of terrible false rumors about this woman. Okay. It only applies in a case where she's poor. In case where she's wealthy and she has extra clothing, she's just going to leave the clothing with you for the period of the loan. She's not going to come by to pick up the clothing. She'll just give you the clothing. I'll come back in 6 months. Or Sheikh Tuz Nusach is, you know, Mrs. Macy's, Mrs. Gimbel's, is borrowing, taking like a multi-million-dollar business loan. So she's going to give the bank like a warehouse of clothing as collateral for the security of the loan. She's not coming to pick up the clothing. It's merchandise. Nothing personal. It's not going to reflect poorly on her in any way. It's not going to put her in a compromising situation. So Reb Shimon says, that's the machlokes between the chacham and almana ashira. Almana ashira, Reb Shimon says, the reason doesn't apply, so the din doesn't apply. And the chacham say, it's true that the reason doesn't apply, but lo darshin in time of the krah. You know, the reason doesn't apply, the din still applies. So that's what you have going on. That's very akin to what's going on here. In other words, you have multiple layers of meaning. The time of the Kra is meaningful, and the drasha is meaningful, but the time of the Kra doesn't impact practical halacha. So I would say to you, l'chora, at this point, you learn in Taisvis, and he says, avada, everyone agrees that Mikra is meaningful. Avada, everyone agrees that Masoros is meaningful. And normally, we could darshan both, or darshan whichever one is available to darshan. This one, that one, or both of them. And, but that's not Yesh Eilam Mikra Yesh Eilam Masoros. Yesh Eilam Mikra Yesh Eilam Masoros is what do you do when the chips are down? You have to choose one over the other. You can't do both because they're in contradiction. Which one wins? Are you saying, what do you mean? And the losing one, so why is it there? Well, how the answer would be the losing one, it's meaningful too, but it's not irrelevant to halacha. Not every meaningful interpretation of Chumash impacts practice. Time of the Krah is true and profound. You can look at the Rambam at the end of Sefer Avodah, end of Hilchos Me'ilah. It's a beautiful discussion about the Tamei Mitzvahs, but it's not relevant to Halacha. Kabbalah also, perhaps, when studies Kabbalah, may extend to that, is another way of interpreting Chumash, but it doesn't mean it impacts practice. Those are the ideas that lie behind, beneath, beyond, whatever preposition you want to use. The ideas of Torah are not necessarily always going to impact practice. There's Pshuto versus Rosh. There's Time to Kra versus Drashos LaHalacha. It's okay. I think that's the way you would approach it. It's a good question that we approach it at this point in Tosfos. But the Tosfos says they're not so happy. If you look further into Tosfos, you see they say this is a good idea, but it's not going to suffice. Because this idea that really everyone holds of both Mikra and Masoros, and Machlokas is just what do you do when they're in conflict? It's just a question of hierarchy.
We still have more questions.
Yeah, that's the rest of Tosfos. Tosfos says, I understand. But sometimes Reb Akiva is only darshaning Mikra. Either Reb Shimon is darshaning both. And then here, Reb Akiva is darshaning this one and that one, and it seems like there are a lot of steers. And as the Tosfos goes on, the balance of Tosfos You see, there are more steers. And we're not sure what to do with all of these steers. So I would think the first thing that comes to mind is a Tosis on the next block. And that Tosis that we had seen earlier in the year about Diras Keva. The Gemara and Zion and Beis had a whole sheet, all these Tanam, 6, 7, 8, 9 Tanam, all of Diras Keva. And Tosis pointed to Maslo Kulu, all of Diras Keva, the principle of Diras Keva. They don't agree with each other on the halacha. Some of this sheet is a mamish astira. One holds 7 Tefach Sukkah, another holds 4 Amos Sukkah. They're not the same. Some of these Tanam are demanding something because of Diras Keva. Some people are allowing you to do it because of Diras Keva. Are you demanding Diras Keva or you're okay with Diras Keva? They're not all the same. We mean they're all connected to a certain concept. So right away when you learn this Tosis on Davar and Beis, I think you think of Tosis on Zion and Beis. And it gets you wondering, maybe Hashem, the creation of Saras is also like Diras Keva. There's a certain concept, but not that everyone's applying it exactly the same way. Which is an avenue for thought, but it needs to be hammered out. Well, what I understand by Diras Keva, like what the details Sfaras are for each Shita, why you would say Zayin Tefachim, why would you say Da'am, and it's driven, the Cheshbon is driven by a Diras Keva piece. But how would that work here? Yeshem, Likshem, and Sfaras. What do you mean they all hold of a certain concept, but it's not playing itself out the same way? What would that mean? That's where the Urim is going to help us. The Urim will give us a path forward in terms of everyone holds of Yeshem, Likshem, or everyone holds of Yeshem, Sfaras. But how could it be that different Tanam apply? It doesn't seem that a lot of ways to apply it. Mikram Masoris. How could it be different types of application? That we'll pick up tomorrow with the Iran.